I want to say a few words on the subject of place in the New Covenant. What am I talking about? Place. To what am I referring? Well, let us start with the natural man, the pagan. What an emphasis the natural man puts upon place. Right from ancient times, the man, the natural man, has shown how much he wants, needs, longs for, and does all he can to create special, holy place, sites. Veneration of sites, veneration of place. I'm thinking, for example, of the many stone pillars, massive stone pillars, which have been erected around the world. These columns, sometimes in circles, sometimes in rows, sometimes individual. These are obviously places of veneration, importance to the natural man. They went to extreme lengths to drag these stones there, often from distant places, and erect them in special form, in special shapes and directions. They placed a great emphasis upon their barrows and tumuli, their earthworks, and their henges. Now I speak from the United Kingdom, and not very far from where I live, there is Stonehenge, probably the best preserved, the greatest henge in all the world. These stones were dragged hundreds of miles from Wales and erected there in precise form. We don't know precisely exactly why they erected them in that way, whether it was an altar, a sacrifice place, something to do with the sun, an astronomical clock, whatever, but it was clearly a place of veneration and special, a holy site. And associated with these places, of course, rites and ceremonies and relics and priests go hand in hand. Let me come now to Israel in the Old Covenant. God showed a great emphasis, demanded Israel should put a great emphasis upon place. Jerusalem. Text after text speaks of it. Mount Zion within Jerusalem. And the temple on Mount Zion. That was God's house. And he demanded reverence for his house. His worship was carried out there. The sacrifices were carried out there. The priests did their work there. God appeared among his people there. It was holy. And within that place there was the Holy of Holies. The temple was the very center and core and heart of the Old Covenant religion of the Jews. When the temple was destroyed, and the Jews were driven from their land, great sorrow came to Israel. And of course, when they were scattered, they would open their windows and direct their gaze toward, in the right direction, toward Jerusalem, and pray and worship there. Indeed, Solomon, when he prayed at the opening of the temple, the exceeding magnificent temple, as the old King James put it, he asked that if people directed their prayers towards Jerusalem, towards the temple, this holy house, that God would hear and bless. The place, Mount Zion, the physical temple, had enormous importance and significance under the Old Covenant. We know that Christendom, invented, shall we say, by Constantine and Theodosius with the bishops, in about, they say, the 3rd and 4th century, shall we say, about that time, the 4th century, we know that Christendom has, these last 1800 years or so, whatever, placed enormous emphasis upon holy places, holy sites, veneration, relics, the worship that goes on there, priestcraft, and so on. But the place is vital. Nothing more shows this than the struggle down these centuries for the possession of Jerusalem. Jews, Arabs, and professing believers have been locked in these 1800 years in war after war, conflict after conflict is going on even as I speak over possession of Jerusalem, not just for political power or money, but for the holiness of that place. Now, the startling thing is that Christ, in the New Covenant, has abolished all notion of place, the holiness of place. How do I get that? John chapter 4. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well in Samaria. And remember, let me read it to you. John chapter 4, verses 19 to 24. The Samaritan woman said to Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Now I know she was trying to divert his attention and his words away from the conviction of her sin. "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, Mount Gerizim. But you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And then comes this staggering answer from Christ. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." He's not saying that they won't worship in Jerusalem or in Gerizim, but worship will not be confined there, confined to those places. There's no holy place. There is no holy site. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming. Listen to this. The hour is coming and is now here, the new covenant, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. John 14, 19 to 24. In that statement, Christ abolishes in the new covenant all emphasis upon holy sites, holy places. Why? Because those places, the temple, Jerusalem, Mount Zion, along with the sacrifices, the altar, the Sabbath, the priests, all the paraphernalia of the Old Covenant, instituted by God, ordained by God for a temporary covenant for Israel until the coming of the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ the Lord, all those shadows, he says, are now fulfilled in me. I have fulfilled them. I am the Sabbath, the temple, the tabernacle, the altar, the priest, the sacrifice. Christ is all. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Christ is the fulfillment of all the shadows. Hebrews 10, Hebrews 8. Over and over again we are told this. Christ is the believer, Sabbath, temple, tabernacle, priest, altar, sacrifice. Christ is all. Christendom says no. Place is important. Priestcraft is important. Rites, ceremonies, and all the rest of it. And many believers, the overwhelming majority of believers, I fear, have bought into Christendom. And though they've escaped some of the paraphernalia, still many talk about the house of God, and by that they mean the building. Of course there's the house of God, it's the ecclesia. The believers covenanted together in union with Christ, in fellowship with one another. They talk about going to the house of God and going to worship. The house of God, the ecclesia, is the assembly of believers, united together under Christ. It's not the place, it's the people. The people in Christ. Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found. And every place is hallowed ground. That's William Cowper's words, and he's dead right. He's spot on. Such ever bring thee where they come, and going take thee to their home. We don't go to worship. We don't go to the house of God. We worship permanently. If we are believers, and we're in Christ, We meet in assembly. We are the church of God. That is the holy house of God, the assembly of God's people, not the building. Is this important? Anything that diminishes the glory of the new covenant is a disaster. Christ is all and in all. He is my rest. He is my high priest. I am a priest in him, but he is my high priest. He is my sacrifice. I sacrifice in him, but he is the one blood sacrifice for my sins. Sabbath, priest, altar, sacrifice, temple, tabernacle, Christ is all in all. And nothing must rob Christ of the least aspect of his glory. Too many believers, though they pay lip service to the new covenant, are actually living in many respects as under the old covenant. And that's why I put up this video. I want to start a train of thought for you, if you've never thought about it before. This emphasis upon place. I'm sowing a seed, maybe an acorn. And from little acorns, great oaks can grow. Maybe you will start thinking about this. That will lead you to the glories of the new covenant. And if you've never come into the full glories of the covenant, new covenant theology of the gospel, then maybe this little video clip will help. Of course, if you're not a believer at all, you have to come into Christ by faith. But I'm mainly addressing those of us who are believers in our Lord Jesus. Let us be men and women, brother and sister. Let us be men and women of the new covenant.